We're still kind of in the new year mode. I know we're getting ready to go into February. And I want to talk to you about, and Brother Cameron, I'm actually going to, if you're able to do the slide, just give me a thumbs up. If you can go ahead to the main slide. But I'm going to let you know when to advance. I'll let you know slide, and then you go to the next slide. Is that all right? So we got the first one coming up. Just let me know when you're ready. Just give me the thumbs up there. All righty. But this morning, I want to talk to you about rediscovering God's plan for your life in 2017. Now, I want to remind you of a great fact, and that is this. Now, I want to remind you of this. God has a plan for your life. I want that to really get into your heart today, that God has a plan for your life. I'm about to run that aisle. I'm telling you, that's good to me. Turn around and tell somebody. Now, I want to throw this into the mix. I'm sure you have plans for your life. Might be good, might not be good. And I want you to also know that Satan has a plan for your life. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But what I want to focus on this morning is that God, isn't that better? Not me, not you, not the devil in hell, but God has a plan for your life. And I want to talk to you. Would you stand with me this morning as we talk today about rediscovering God's plan for your life? The next slide should be Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. So Cameron is synced up with me and we're good to go. Jeremiah 29, 11. We've read it so many times, it's almost become that it loses its power. But I want to ask God to put the power back into Jeremiah 29, 11. In fact, I'm working on a sermon now called It's Still There. So whenever I go through a problem, I'm going to say Romans chapter 8, 28 is still there. And whenever I'm facing some disappointments, I'm going to say Jeremiah 29, 11 is still there. So let's read it out loud together. For I know the plans I have for you. Stop right there. For I know the plans I have for you. Now let's read it all together. Declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Glory to God. Next slide. Psalms 40 and verse 5. Many, O Lord, are thy wonderful works which you have done, and thy thoughts which are to us. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak them, they are more than can be numbered. Sounds like God's got a plan for your life. Now, Father, today anoint your servant as I preach the word. One more time, we ask you to touch Pastor Jerry and Sister Teresa, First Lady Teresa, as they are away this morning with a mighty anointing. But in this house this morning, I pray, God, that you would make this to be the message, the on-time word from the Lord, and God will give you the praise for what shall be accomplished. Lord, may I decrease, and may you increase. And may your word go forth today and accomplish salvation, sanctification, filling of the Holy Spirit, and that people may rejoice in knowing that you have a great plan in progress. And we give you praise for it. And everybody said, amen. Now, as you're being seated, tell somebody you're looking pretty. Amen. Next slide. I want to begin with this thought this morning. Nothing of significance happens without a plan. I want you to think about that. Everybody say the word plan. All right? So you can't have a military without a plan. You can't build a house without the floor plan. You can't win a football game without a plan. Don't you believe the Atlanta Falcons and the New England Patriots are sitting in rooms coming up with a... In fact, I can't even sell televisions at Best Buy without every morning having a plan. You can't even build a church without a plan. Now, if you can't have freedom without a plan, and if you can't build a house without a plan, if I can't sell TVs without a plan, and if you can't win the Super Bowl without a plan, then what makes you think that you can have a life without a plan? We just live from day to day, Monday to Tuesday, to Wednesday to Thursday, to Friday to this week, to that week, to this year, to that year. But please understand, I want you to know that every hair on your head is numbered, that you were formed in your mother's womb. You might be accident prone, but you're not an accident. And I want you to know that God is up to something. He has His eyes upon you. He cares about you. He made you. He formed you. He fashioned you. And here's the good news. He's got a plan for your life. Would you put your hands together and thank Him for that tonight? I know God has a plan for your life. I'm going to give you three reasons why. Next slide. Number one, I know God has a plan for your life and for my life because of creation. Because of creation. The fact that you're here says God planned you. Amen. Sometime many billions of years ago, who knows when, God sat down and had a conversation with the Trinity and said, I'm going to create Brother Blue. I'm going to create Brother Elam. I'm going to create Sister Darnell. I'm going to create Ricky Nelms. I'm going to create Jerry Nelson. And God knew you. He plan for you. You say, now, Brother Rick, you don't understand. You know, I was not planned by my parents, but you were planned by God. The next slide says, before I formed thee in the belly. Now, notice these words. I just want these words to sink in. He formed you in the belly. You know, this is the anniversary of that horrible, wicked Supreme Court ruling called Roe versus Wade. It is an abomination and it's wicked. It is a blight upon our land. It is going to destine us as a country to destruction if we don't take this opportunity to overturn Roe v. Wade. And amen. Democrat, Republican, Trump, Bush, don't matter. Obama, it's got to go. And we as Christians, because when Roe versus Wade was actually brought into law, they didn't have ultrasounds like we have today. And ultrasound technology, you can see the baby's face. You can see as early as weeks into the pregnancy. Notice Jeremiah 1 and 5, before I formed thee, please understand, God is in that pregnancy. Now, the parents might have been illegitimate, and it might have been out of wedlock. It might have been, God forbid, a rape or something worse. But God steps in those terrible things of life, and that's the one redeeming thing of those bad things, is that from that womb could come perhaps the next leader or the cure for cancer. Because listen, God has a plan for your life. Oh, hallelujah this morning. Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. By the way, it's okay to say amen. It's okay to say hallelujah when Brother Jerry's not here. I'm going to report on who's quiet this morning. Amen. I'm taking names and notes because he's going to ask. Amen. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet to the nations. Now, you may not be a prophet to the nations. You may be a mother, a homemaker. You may not be a prophet to the nations. You just may be a newspaper delivery person. You may be a salesman at a car lot, or you may be a doctor. But God had a plan and God had a purpose when he created you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Charles Spurgeon said, God most certainly chose me before I was born. He would have never chose me after I was born. Let me tell you, there are a million my sister Jennifer loves stuff like this. So Jennifer, just take down these notes here. And there are a million cells in your body. A cell is so small that the O on a piece of paper could fit 40,000 cells in the small type font 12 O on a piece of paper. There are 200 trillion molecules of atoms in each of those cells. Dr. Francis Crick, who is not a Christian, along with Dr. James Watson, discovered DNA. DNA. I used to pronounce the full word when I was at East Carolina. Deuterionucleic acid or something. I can't remember. But it sounded like I was speaking in tongues. But he said all of the DNA in just one, listen, all of the DNA in just one human body linked together and stretched out, listen, would reach to the moon and back. You take all the DNA in your body, stretch it out end upon end. Did you know that the human body is such an incredibly precise machine? And we do have a doctor here today, Dr. Nathan. Did you know that that the human body is such a precise machine that if your sensors are working normally, you can do the following. You can feel on your fingertips or face a pressure that depresses your skin 4/10,000 of an inch. You can either see a small candle flame from 30 miles away at night, or you can also see 300,000 different colors of light. The human eye can distinguish 300,000. You can smell one drop of perfume diffused through a three-room apartment, and that you can taste 4/10 of an ounce of table salt dissolved in 530 quarts of water. And I'll tell you what, I love every bit of that salt. Amen. Every minute, 3 million of your cells die. You didn't know that, did you? But every minute, 3 million of your cells die, but they replenish. In fact, let me just sum it up. This is not a biology this morning. I just want you to realize that you just weren't thrown together. You weren't just an afterthought. You are, listen, somebody said if you could see half of what's going on inside of you, you'd be afraid to move. And with all of that, you can't tell me that God doesn't have a plan. You see, Ed Stetzer, who is a church growth consultant to churches, tweeted just the other day a powerful tweet that I retweeted on my Facebook page. And says that they now realize that the DNA in a baby can be different than the DNA of the mother. If the DNA is different from the mother's DNA, how can you say that the baby is a woman's body? Are you with me? Because that baby is a separate human life. Let me tell you this. There is no one like you. God planned you. And let me tell you this, when God made you, you know what he said? When he finished making you, you know what he said? He said, I'll never do that again. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. He's got a plan. He's got a plan. Brother Philip and Royal Rangers, he's got a plan for those boys. Oh, Pastor Jonathan Stafford and Regina, he's got a plan for those young people. Some of you youth leaders that work with him and children's church and youth, listen, you're not wasting time when you come to church. This is serious business. God's got a plan for these lives. Let's mold them and point them in the, because I said Satan also has a plan too. But that's what we're here for, to shout it from the housetop. God's not dead. He's still alive. He's working in my life, and God's got a plan for Ricky Nelms and for you and for me. Amen. I know he has a plan because of creation. Say amen. And then number two, I know he has a plan for your life because of revelation. What do you mean by that? The revelation of the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God teaches us that God has a plan for our life. This is your plan of action. The Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. I didn't say Oprah Winfrey. I didn't say Dr. Phil. I didn't say this politician or that politician. I said the book. That's your instruction manual. Something goes wrong, go back to instruction. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like to read instructions when I buy things. Any of you with me out there? But you got to learn to read instructions. But you say, Pastor, I believe God has a plan for my life. But what about my mistakes? What about the tragedies of my life? What about the pain that I go through? What about the problems? Well, if we go back to the book, there's an answer for those. You see, no matter what somebody has done to you. Now that's a very, very valid thing that I deal with a lot as a pastor and have over the years. That somebody has wronged me. Somebody has done me wrong. My mother and father-in-law were slated to inherit a large amount of land. And I'll never forget, we were at their house for probably Thanksgiving or the day after Thanksgiving many years ago. The sheriff come to the door and served my mother and father-in-law outstanding citizens with a summons to court. Long story short, some other family members got in and basically took that inheritance away from them. And now I would have fought for it, like physically. No, I'm kidding. I would have probably been tempted to fight physically for it and maybe even legally. But my mother and father-in-law are such Christians in their heart. They said, let them have it. Because our life depends upon God. And all it is material things. Because listen, people can do you wrong. What about that wife that leaves her husband for another man after years of marriage? What about that person who was abused as a child, whose uncle came in or somebody who abused them? And they carry that shame. Maybe you were passed over for promotion on the job. You should have got that job, but somebody else got that job. Or what about what somebody has done to you? By the way, if you've ever been passed over for promotion on a job, or if you've ever been fired, and I don't know why I feel led to say this morning, and I know people are watching by live stream, but I want you to know, if you've ever been fired, do you realize that you're in good company if you've ever been fired? Steve Jobs was fired. Now, some of you don't know who Steve Jobs is, but if you got an Apple iPhone, he created that thing, amen, that you paid $250 a month for, amen. Walt Disney was fired because he was not creative and imaginative enough. Has anybody ever been to Disney World or Disneyland? Raise your hand. Well, I think he did pretty good after he got fired, don't you? Or Oprah Winfrey got fired from television early on in her career. Can you imagine the Oprah? Rush Limbaugh, the radio commentator, got fired. Robert Redford got fired. I didn't know that. And listen to this. This is good. Bill Belichick. How many of you don't know who Bill Belichick is? Okay. You ever heard of the New England Patriots? Okay. Bill Belichick got fired from the Cleveland Browns and then went to New England and has been to 7 Super Bowls, and next week will be number 8. So listen, I don't care what people do to you. If God be for me, who can be against me? God's got a plan. You can throw Joseph into the pit, and we don't like your dreams, and we don't like you, and you're not our brother. We don't have anything to do with you. We'll take some blood of an animal and tell our daddy you're dead and gone, and make him forget that you ever existed from the face of the earth. And one day you're going to be in a place, and you're going to need something. And guess who that person you threw away? Guess who they're going to be needing something from you then, and it's going to be so sweet. Because God has a plan. I love God this morning. You can't keep a good man or a good woman down. When I was a kid, we used to have these little punching bags. You would punch that thing, it would go down and pop right back up again. You'd hit it just as hard, that thing go down hard. But it'd come, Brother Philip, right back. I mean, in the 70s, that was a big deal. Another thing we used to have, my mother reminds me of, was the stretch monster. Buddy, you can stretch him out, but you leave directly by and by. He's coming back to where he needs to be. And some of you this morning, you've been stretched, and you've been thrown out, and you've been forgotten. But God's got a plan. Hallelujah! Next slide. You meant evil for me, but God meant it for good. Genesis chapter 50. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God. See, God's got a plan to bring it to pass as it is this day to save many people alive. Well, maybe you've made personal mistakes And I want to talk to some of you this morning. You've messed up your life. You did some things you shouldn't have done. Maybe, and God forbid, I don't know. I don't know people here. Maybe you've even served time or gone to prison for it. Maybe you've gone through bankruptcy. Maybe you have a failed marriage. Maybe you had a child that you didn't spend enough time with. And today that child won't speak to you for whatever reasons. You've made mistakes. And I'll tell you, when you get older, you look back over your life and the tears, Lord, how did I miss it there? And how did I mess up there? And the guilt begins to come and the shame begins to come. Now listen to me. Some of you have never made mistakes or big mistakes. But listen, you haven't lived all your life yet either. But you say, Brother Ricky, surely those mistakes, surely those sins, surely that has messed up God's plan for my life. No, it hasn't. You're telling me your sins are too bigger than God Almighty? Now, I will say this. Sin will withhold some of the better things God has planned for you. But I'm going to tell you, ultimately, God knew you were going to mess up anyway. Right? Like I said, God would have chose me before I was born. He'd have never chose me after I was born. But please understand that sins, first of all, if you've sinned, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilt and stains. If you have sinned, if you have made mistakes, if you have wronged people, if you've sown bad seed, if you have failed, if you've lied, if you've stolen, if you've served prison time, I'm here to tell you, come to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will wash away your sins. What can wash away my sins? What is it, church? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Oh, precious is the flow. God is a forgiver. And I'll tell you something about God that He can do, that only He can do, that you and I can't do. God can forget about it. He said, I will forget your sins and your mistakes and your failures. I will remember no more. I'll tell you that Jonah sinned. He fled from the presence of the Lord. He sure did. God said, go to Nineveh and preach. And Jonah said, no, I'm going to go to Tarshish to the beach. He didn't want to go on an evangelistic crusade. He wanted to get on a resort. So he booked a cruise. And he's out there just lapping it up. He's got his short pants on, not being a good witness for Christ. And all of a sudden, a cloud comes up. And then a storm comes up. And I'll tell you what, they're in a fix. Because Jonah is messed up. Sin. Ran away. Done wrong. And now he's got everybody else in danger. And this is what boggles my mind. Jonah says, look, I know why we're having this storm. Because I'm running from the Lord. And so, the long story short is this. They threw him over the boat. Why didn't he just jump over the boat and help everybody out? He made them feel bad about throwing him over the boat. I mean, this guy was a mess. He's just like us Wilson County people, I tell you. And Nash County people. Amen. Why didn't he just jump? He knew he was the problem. No, he made them throw him over. You know, people are something else, folks. I'm here to tell you. And he got thrown over. And the Bible says, you miss this when you read the book of Jonah, but the Lord had prepared a fish to swallow. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said, God has got a plan, brother. He already had that fish. You know how long it takes for a whale to grow? I mean, we're talking years for that thing to be that big. So when that little whale was just conceived as a little baby whale, God said, I got a job for you, little whale. You're going to help me get my prophet back to the will of God. God's got a plan, even when we make mistakes. And sure enough, Jonah got swallowed by the whale. And in that whale, he had a whale of a time, I'm telling you. And I want you to know, he's cried out to God. And God let that fish spew him out. Well, what you don't realize is that the Ninevites, guess what God the Ninevites worship? They worship the fish god. And you know how information travels. Listen, before they had cell phones, before they had text messages, they had word of mouth. And somebody said, psh, 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 there's this preacher running toward Nineveh, and he survived a whale. And I'll tell you what, his mistake gave him an audience. From the king down. You got a word from us? You survived a whale? We worship those whales. Tell us, sir. Within 40 days, Nineveh's going to be history. If you don't repent, your sins have come up before God Almighty. And he's so moved, that king, and he's so moved that city. This man who had failed, this man who made a tremendous mistake. God, the point I'm just trying to say is, God's not finished yet. Just pick up your life, and don't you look back. There's a purpose in the pain, and God can turn it all around again. He can take your mess and give you a message. I want you to say with me, God's got a plan. Say it again. God's got a plan. Give him another hand of praise. He's here tonight. Amen. Well, glory to God. The next slide. Now, what about the accidents and tragedies of life? You say, Brother Ricky, I was in a car wreck and I can't walk anymore. I have to go around in a wheelchair. Or, Brother Ricky, I've lost my eyesight. Or maybe there was a tragedy. Maybe you had a precious loved one to die. Maybe a child. You say, I don't understand that, Brother Ricky. And you know what? I'm going to just take a pause right now. I don't understand those tragedies of life. I really don't. When I think about the tragic death of a teenager in a car accident like we've experienced in our own congregation, I don't understand that. All I know is this, that He is Lord in living and He's Lord in dying. And that there is coming a day when we'll understand it better by and by. But if you're left in this world, if God has chosen fit to leave you in this world, and you've gone through a tragedy, you've gone through, look at Mephibosheth, and Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came from of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. I'm going to quickly point out to you that he was a healthy young little boy. But through an accident, he became lame in his feet. And don't ever think that because you've had an accident, you've lost some ability, or you have... I believe at the St. Paul Pentecostal Church in Greenville, one of our churches in Greenville, the pastor is Dr. Richard Denning, who is a friend of mine. In fact, we're going to have lunch tomorrow. In Greenville, I've got to go down and take care of some things. But last week, they had a man by the name of David Ring preach at their church. David Ring has a muscular dystrophy, and he talks like this, and he walks like that, but he'll preach like this and tell you to quit your belly aching. Quit your belly aching. Because it doesn't matter. You can be lame in your feet. Somebody might have dropped you. Somebody might have... And there you go. There's somebody else's mistake there. But listen, friend. The Bible says one day that King David said, Can I show kindness to Saul's grandkids or Jonathan's kids or grandkids? And they said, yeah, his name is Mephibosheth. And he said, you bring that guy. Well, he can't walk. That's all right. You get him, because he's going to eat at my table. And he's going to sit there with Solomon. He's going to sit there with all of my sons. He's going to eat at my table, because God's got a plan for your life. I know it because, number one, of creation, you're created. Number two, because of revelation, God's word tells us. And finally, I know God has a plan for your life because of, next slide, salvation. Salvation. The fact that Jesus died on the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. The fact of that old rugged cross on a hill far away tells me there is a plan for your life. God would not have died for us if He didn't have a plan. Hallelujah. Well, glory. In fact, the cross says this. Listen to this. I'd rather die than live without you. Another way you could say it is, I'd rather kill my son than live without you. Think about it. Think about it. Let me ask you, when you think of something that's valuable, the next slide, how valuable is something? Value. 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 You're valuable, or something is valuable, based on creativity. What do you mean? I can draw a painting, or which I can't draw at all, but let's just say I did, and I could show it to you, but it wouldn't have a lot of value. But if it were a painting from Michelangelo or Raphael, somebody would take that painting and pay millions for it. It's a painting. My painting is a painting. His painting is a painting. But one of the things that makes it valuable is because of the author or the creator of it. The fact that I could paint something really great, but I'm not Raphael. And who created you? That's point number one. God created you. And you know what? That means you're valuable. You came through your mother and father, but not from your mother and father. Amen. You see, not only creativity, but something is valuable based on its durability, how long it will last. In other words, that's one reason gold is valuable, because gold is lasting. Silver is lasting. Diamonds are. Come on, folks. Valentine's Day's coming up in a few weeks. Get with it. Men, Sister Connie works over there. They'll work you out a deal. Amen. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, diamonds are forever. And how long is your soul going to last? Forever. We're going to a place where the soul never dies. We have value because we have durability. We are unending, undying, forever. We are a creation of God. And it makes us valuable. Something else is valuable, not only because of its creativity, its durability, but because of its rarity. And I was trying to find the notes on it, and I couldn't find it. But the rarest stamp is the 1867 stamp that nobody can really find. But if you find a rare coin or a rare stamp or a Stradivarius violin, they are rare. And that rarity makes it. And folks, I want you to understand something, that there you are rare. There's no one that has your fingerprint. You're rare. There's no one that has your DNA. Come on. There's no one that has your retina scan. I mean, your individual retina scan. You are unique. You are rare. And you are valuable because of the creativity, the durability, the rarity. And then I'll tell you finally what makes something valuable is the desirability. Do you know what makes something really valuable? It's this: how much somebody is willing to pay for. Take a painting and you put it to an auction and you see how valuable it is. This one bids for that one bids for it, and guess who gets it? The y'all with me this morning. Pastor Jerry's gonna be very proud of you. Amen. Glory to God. How much? Next slide. Did he pay for you? Well, Peter tells us, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood. You know how much God paid for you? He paid the price of the blood of the Lamb. God has a plan for your life. You have value. I don't care what mom and daddy said. I don't care what the neighbors say. I don't care what somebody did to you when you were 13. I don't care if you got fired from the job. He paid his blood for you, and he's got his plans for you. Oh, thank God this morning there's power in the blood. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift those hands up and say, Lord, I praise you for the plans that you have. And I know they're good plans for my life. And I just bless you today. And I just praise you today. Go to Calvary and cross and salvation. The fact that he wants to save you. And can I tell you, he does want to save you. Teenagers, he wants to save you because you have value. Brother, God's got value in your life. Amen. Amen. Listen to me, God. Now listen, Sister Linda, if you want to come and just get ready to play and make sure I got it set up for you here. And I'll let you know right when to start, okay? Thank you. But before I close, before she starts playing, I just want to remember how I started out this message. I started out this message making a very, very important statement. I said, God has a plan for your life. But then I also said, you have a plan for your life. And then I said, Satan has a plan for your life. So my question is, as I close this morning, what are you going to choose? What are you going to choose? John Piper tweeted on Twitter, John Piper, follow him if you're on Twitter. Powerful, one of the godliest men alive today. He said this, what is the greatest moral outrage of the universe? What is the greatest moral outrage of the universe? I thought about some moral outrages. The Holocaust, rape, murder. But let me tell you what he said. The greatest moral outrage in the universe is to desire anything more than God. Let me tell you, that's powerful. If he has a plan for my life, then you know what I need to do? I need to go all in. No holes barred. Not one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Clapping my hands on Sunday. Going to bars on Monday. I ought not to be, God, if I get around to paying my tithes, I might get to it. Or somebody hurt me, so I'm not going to forgive them. By the way, that's part of God's plan, is you forgiving people, even when they've done wrong. Because let me tell you, bitterness does more damage where it is stored than where it is poured. So it's to your effect. Every thou shalt not, God is saying, don't hurt yourself. And every thou shalt, he's saying, help yourself to happiness. He's got a plan. Follow his plan. That's where suicidal thoughts come in. That's where people lose their lives early. That's where people mess up, is when they go on their own plan. Or they desire anything more than God himself, who has the greatest plan for our lives. In fact, if you can go to the next slide, Max Lucado summed it up this way. And I'll close with this. But Max Lucado was in Rio de Janeiro. And he said the streets are very complicated. And his wife was about to give birth. And they had to rush to the hospital. It was unexpected. And they traveled down this street. And they traveled down that street. They could not, he got turned around, things were getting tough, and it was getting to a crisis point, and he finally stopped and said, sir, I got to get my wife to the hospital. Tell me how to get to the hospital. He said, sir, you're going to go down about one block, and you're going to see up in the air the Christ on the mountain. They, in Rio de Janeiro, that's the Christ on the mountain statue that's about 100 feet high. It's a very, one of the wonders of the world. He said, once you see Christ on the mountain, you just stay on that road. And as long as you see, keep, don't get blocked or obscured. As long as you see Christ on the mountain, he said, it's going to take you. You'll find your way. Stand with me this morning. Stand with me this morning. I'm here to tell you. You can get lost down the roads of life. You can make wrong turns. And I don't know where you are this morning. Just find Jesus. And you'll find your way. You'll find your way. Just bow your heads this morning. Oh God, we thank you. We thank you for that awesome, awesome plan. 2017 is the beginning of a new year. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The first request Do you even know Jesus? Do you even know the Lord? Have you asked Jesus to come into your heart? Now, I'm not saying, are you a good person? Because you may be a good person. But can I be honest with you? You're not good enough. Your sins, though being a good person, your sins rob you of God's plan. Come to Jesus this morning. Get all in. Quit holding back. Quit putting it off. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Pastor, I want to get all in this morning. I don't want to go my plan any longer. And I don't want to follow Satan's plan any longer. And if that's you, nobody's looking around. Would you just lift your hand up and say, Brother Ricky, pray for me. Today is my day. I'm getting all in. And I know God's speaking to some hearts today. Maybe on live stream. You might be a good person. But no one is so bad that they can't be saved. And no one is so good that they don't need to be saved. Come to Jesus. Anybody this morning, just pray this prayer. Say, Dear Lord, I want to find Christ. I want to find my way, Lord. Come into my life. Forgive me. Forgive me. Come. Can we just lift our hands up to heaven? If you know Jesus, He will be our guide. Draw me close to His side. Oh, yes. He will make a way. He will make a way. Let's sing that together. God will make a way. God will make a way. There seems to be works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. One more time, sing it again. God, make a way where there seems to be. I said He has a plan. I want you to step out of your seat, and I want you to come down as a closing prayer, and I want you to just say, Lord, make a way. I need a way, and Lord, I embrace Your plan. Now, whether you're 40 years old or 80 years old, every last one of us, it is our duty to say, yes, Lord. Can you say, yes, Lord, this morning? That's what I'm preaching next Sunday at Swansonville. Yes, Lord. I want you to step out of your seat. He's going to make a way. Maybe you failed. Maybe somebody's hurt you. But I'm here to tell you, He is the way maker. He is the one that will make this crooked path straight. Come on down this morning. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we embrace Your plan today. God, we thank You that You've got a plan for every individual life. There may have been some wrong turns, but as long as we've got Christ in view, You're going to make a way, Lord. And it may not be in my timing. Oh, God, we trust You. We obey You this morning, God. You will be our guide. Draw us closely to Your side. Oh, God, we put our children and our grandchildren. You've got a plan for our family. Oh, God, for 2017, let things be different. Somebody just needs to be all in this morning. Somebody just needs to go all out for God this year. I'm not holding anything back. I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to pay my tithes. I'm going to live radically for Jesus Christ. I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel. Where does the power of God and the salvation. Some of you need a healing this morning. Lift your hand and say, Lord, make a way for healing. Lord, you've got a plan for my healing. He was by his stripes. We were healed. Oh, God, thank you, Lord, this morning for instant, total, and complete healing in our bodies, God. You are Jehovah Shammah this morning, God. We go all the way with Jesus. We bless you, Lord, this morning. We bless you, Lord, this morning. You will make a way. Somebody's facing a closed door. God's saying, I'm about to open the door that no man could shut. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that, Lord, we stand on the threshold of another year, God, and we're going to see mighty things. Thank you, Lord, that it's still there. It's still there for you. We know, you know the thoughts that you have towards us to give us a hope and a future and an expected end. This is a simple chorus. I want us all to sing it together. In closing, God will make a way. Oh, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works ways we cannot see. There it is. He will make. He's going to make a way. Brother Kyle, he's going to make a way. Hold me closely to his side. Amen. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. Let's pray for Donna this morning.